Today's deep dive is the 2nd of November 2022. Miller and colleagues. Weight status moderates stress eating in the absence of hunger associations in children. Published in Appetite in May of 2019. What we know, think we know, or are starting to know. What do we know about the impacts of stress on diet? As it happens, quite a bit. First, let's define stress. Stressors that we experience may be considered an adaptive phenomenon. Stress occurs where environmental demands challenge or exceed the adaptive capacity of an individual to adapt, resulting in behavioral, psychological, and biological responses that may adversely influence their health. We have evolved mechanisms such as the, quote, flight or fight response of adrenaline, cortisol, and other related physiological responses to react to and evade threats. Generally, flight or fight nervous system responses in the body divert energy to the brain and skeletal muscle away from, quote, rest and digest processes. The anticipated effect of flight or fight stress responses is to decrease appetite and food intake. However, we know from the literature that humans respond both ways, i.e., some people respond to stress by overeating, while some respond to stress by undereating. And the precise reasons for these divergent responses are not well understood. Experimental evidence suggests a relationship with cortisol, which is increased in response to stress and enhances preference for, quote, comfort foods, while also promoting appetite and visceral fat deposition. Cortisol reactivity is also increased in response to weight stigma, irrespective of weight status. We also have evidence that female sex and having overweight obesity both predict greater energy intake in response to stress. However, very little is known about the potential impacts of stress and the interaction with sex and weight status in children. The present study investigated these questions. The study was a non-randomized experimental intervention in children recruited from the Head Start program, a federally funded program for low-income children. The present study included 223 children who participated in an experimental stress protocol to investigate the effects of stress induction on eating in the absence of hunger. The experimental stress test utilized a version of the Trier Social Stress Test for Children, which is designed to induce social and evaluative stress responses. Children had a 20-minute low-stress run-in period, i.e. playing board games or coloring, before a, quote, strict teacher role play was introduced, wherein the children were tested on public speaking, word fluency, and mental arithmetic tasks in front of the strict teacher. The children's responses were video recorded, and behavioral and facial indicators of anxiety, for example, looking down to avoid eye contact, nervous eye movement, crying, or dejected demeanor, were assessed by research assistants to determine stress response, termed, quote, observed anxiety in the results. Subjective distress was also assessed by questioning the children before and after the stress induction using a Likert scale, a 1 to 5 point scale where 1 equals very calm and relaxed and 5 equals very nervous, scared, or stressed. This is termed, quote, subjective distress in the results. To assess eating in the absence of hunger, children consumed a standardized meal with their family members. Following the meal, the children reported their subjective fullness. Children were then moved to a separate room where they were offered dessert and told they could eat as much as they like for 5 minutes. The greater the energy consumed was indicative of eating in the absence of hunger. The aim of the study was to investigate whether the child's sex and weight status moderated the response to the stress induction on subsequent dessert energy intake. The researchers hypothesized that stress would increase eating in the absence of hunger, and the effect would be stronger in girls and children with overweight. Results. Children in the study were 7.8 years of age on average. 54.9% of the total sample were designated non-Hispanic white ethnicity, and 48% of children had overweight, defined as over the 85th percentile of weight for age and sex. More girls, 27%, than boys, 21%, were overweight. Effect of child weight status on observed anxiety. There was a significant interaction between anxiety and weight status, i.e., children with overweight increased eating in the absence of hunger as anxiety increased. Conversely, children without overweight decreased eating in the absence of hunger as anxiety increased. More on this will be discussed under interesting finding below. Effect of child weight status on subjective distress. There was no significant interaction between subjective distress and weight status. However, the directions of effect were similar, i.e., children with overweight increased eating in the absence of hunger as subjective stress increased, while children without overweight decreased eating in the absence of hunger as subjective stress increased. The effect of child sex did not moderate the associations between either observed anxiety or subjective distress and eating in the absence of hunger. The critical breakdown. Pros. The study aims and hypotheses were clearly stated in the introduction. The sample size was large for a study in this age group, specifically focused on children from low-income families, broadening the applicability of the findings beyond the narrower, health-conscious demographics that typically participate in research. The study sample was well-balanced for male and female children, around 50% each, and the ethnicity demographics were representative of the general U.S. population. The statistical analysis separately analyzed the associations between stress, weight status, and eating in the absence of hunger, using the observed stress assessment and the subjective self-reported stress assessment, respectively. More on this will be discussed under key characteristic below. The fact that two measures of stress were assessed and yielded similar results is a strength for a study heavily reliant on subjective measures. Cons. The main limitation is that the study was a non-randomized trial with no control groups. The assessment of fullness using a three-item question does not appear to be validated, and the reference provided did not include any validation of this hunger assessment. Using visual analog scales would have been a simple and more validated method to assess subjective hunger. The subjective distress scale also does not appear to have been validated. The paper does not present the actual levels of energy consumed during the experimental condition and only presents the results as standardized regression coefficients, which are used to rank the relative importance of each variable included in the analysis, but tell us nothing of what the effects would mean in real-life calorie terms. Key characteristic. An important characteristic of this study is the fact that two different measures of stress were used, which was followed by two separate statistical analyses. The two different assessments of stress are important because both were subjective. The observed anxiety assessment was based on the subjective interpretations of the assessors. The reliability rating between the assessors was 0.70 or 70%. This is considered a good level of inter-rater reliability, but clearly still contains around 30% error. The analysis then included separate models for both observed anxiety and subjective distress, and each of these produced slightly different but consistent outputs. For example, we know from the data that weight status on its own had a weak effect on eating in the absence of hunger in the observed anxiety analysis, and provided almost no explanation for eating in the absence of hunger in the subjective distress analysis. However, once the interaction between weight status and observed anxiety or subjective distress was analyzed, the relationship with eating in the absence of hunger was evident and was stronger for observed anxiety than for subjective distress. It is important to note that both tests were different assessments, so the consistency in the direction of effect, specifically the interaction between both anxiety and distress, overweight, and increased eating in the absence of hunger, lends more confidence to the finding that weight status moderated the association between anxiety and stress and overeating. Interesting finding. The direction of effect of eating in the absence of hunger in response to stress was diametrically opposed relative to weight status, i.e., children with overweight consumed more in response to stress, while children without overweight consumed less. It is a known feature of the research on stress and eating that humans may respond to stress by both over and under eating. Prior research suggests that in response to stress, between 40 and 70% of people may eat less, while 30 to 50% of individuals may eat more. However, Previous research has also shown that having overweight or obesity predicts greater intake in response to stress. This may be because their weight status acts as a form of chronic stress, and individuals experiencing chronic stress may eat more when exposed to acute stress situations. The fact that children without overweight consumed less may reflect the anticipated effect of acute stressors on appetite, i.e., a downregulation of appetite. It may also reflect differences in cortisol reactivity, which has been shown experimentally to correlate with higher energy intake in response to stress, i.e., those with higher cortisol responses ate more in response to stress than those without. Ultimately, the present study did not measure cortisol, so we don't know what extent there was any correlation in these 7-year-old children. However, it is possible, given what we know from wider research, that the children with overweight consumed more in order to dampen the stress response. Relevance. We can think about the relevance of a study like this by distinguishing what we know from the overall wider body of research. The first point is that stress clearly triggers divergent responses in appetite and energy intake, and that the stress eating response favors highly palatable foods. The second is that weight status acts as a moderator of the stress response, i.e., individuals with overweight or obesity are more likely to eat more in response to stress. The present study adds to this research by demonstrating this relationship in young children. The other points of relevance, however, are speculative because the present study did not measure cortisol, which would have provided useful additional insights into the association, but is understandable because taking blood samples from children involves additional hurdles in ethics applications. The experiment in the present study involved social stress, and this type of, quote, threat stress involving public embarrassment or failure may lead to greater cortisol reactivity. When we add in the effect of weight stigma on cortisol reactivity and the established experimental effects of elevated cortisol on increasing desire and intake of palatable foods, these strands of evidence provide a plausible explanation for the interaction of weight status and anxiety and stress on increasing eating in the absence of hunger in the present study. However, future research in children should expand the experimental measures to include cortisol and other related objective stress markers in order to better characterize this relationship in children. Application to practice. It is crucial for practitioners to understand and have empathy for the fact that food in the context of stress is a coping mechanism to respond to the stressor. The issue that arises in the context of chronic stress is where this pattern of stress response eating is maladaptive, for example, visceral fat gain, weight stigma, etc. While referring out to mental health professionals may be necessary, from a nutrition perspective, encouraging brief mindfulness interventions may improve enjoyment of palatable foods while also regulating overall intake. An example of such mindfulness instruction from Arch and colleagues, quote, while you are eating chocolate, focus your attention on the sensory experience of tasting the chocolate. Focus on the various sensations you experience, such as the color, texture, scent, and flavor, while tasting, and fill your head with the details of these sensations. In effect, help to provide your clients with tools to better respond to the effect of stress on eating behavior.